Young Israel of Brookline, yibrookline.org.
Starting. What, you're ready? What? You're good. Okay, great. Okay, so we were, here, let's see. So we are in the middle of Perek Bet of Nehemiah. I won't say the book of Nehemiah, but Nehemiah. Okay, so last time Nehemiah, you know, got the bad news. He was got really excited. He asked the king Artashasta to go. Artashasta gave him permission, gave him letters, gave him an armed escort. And Nehemiah is on this mission to finally fully rebuild Yerushalayim. Okay, so last time he sort of had left on the journey. He hadn't quite reached Yerushalayim yet. So we're now up to Perek Bet Pasuk Yud. Vaishma Sanbalat Hachoroni. So Sanbalat Bechoroni from Choron. Vitovia Ha'eved Ha'amoni. Now these are all leaders of other communities. So Vitovia Ha'eved Ha'amoni. So he's an Amoni. So Ha'eved, either that means it was a derogatory term, meaning maybe people like, you know, called him the Eved. It wasn't really an Eved, because right, we'll see he's like a communion. Or some say maybe it means he was the Eved of, like, he was like a, no, not Eved, well, Eved of a king, meaning he was like the, it was a position, it was a title. Yeah, like exactly, a royal aide or something. And that's, but it definitely doesn't mean slave. So it, right, that definitely doesn't mean slave. Unless it's like, it was a term added that would have, like, call him the slave for some reason. But he was not a slave. Vayira lahem ra'agadola, and they were very upset. Asher ba Adam levakesh tova levnei Yisrael. That there's this person coming. They heard there's this leader, charismatic leader coming to fight for the rights of the Jews, and that bothered them. That's not what they wanted. Okay, next pasuk. Mount Nehemiah is talking again in first person. Va'avo el Yerushalayim. So I came to Yerushalayim. Va'ahisham yamim shlosha. And I was there for 3 days, just getting settled. And then after 3 days, va'akum laila, I got up in the middle of the night. Ani v'anashim ma'atimi, myself and some men with me. V'lo higadati la'adam, but I didn't tell anyone. Ma elokai notain alibi la'asot Yerushalayim. What God had placed in my heart to do to or for Yerushalayim. U'behema einimi, we didn't have any animals. I was the only one riding an animal, and there's still a few other people walking with me. Va'etse bishar hagai laila, and I went out the shar hagai, the gate of hagai, that's the valley. Okay, let's actually take out our maps. This map is from this sefer. Okay, I hope it's clear. So it's not that much clear in the book itself, but okay, so let's just look at this a little bit. Okay, so it's really nice. You can see, like, the topography and get a sense of, like, the hills and everything, right? So everyone see the Beis HaMikdash? That's, like, towards the right, right? Okay. It was in the same place. Yeah, but I don't know if it's toward that exact scale here. But it was in the same location, right? So you can see it's on top of a mountain, Har HaBayis. Now, in the days of David, okay, so the city, it might be easier if people look, was just this sliver, okay? And initially, David and the old city of Yerushalayim that he conquered was only the bottom half of that sliver, okay? You can see, it's hard to see, but it says Ir David there. And then the top part, which is Har HaBayis, initially David didn't conquer, it was only later, right, he buys it from Arnon Hayavusi or whatever exactly his name. I don't remember his name now. It was just that sliver, okay? That narrow sliver on the right side. Then Shlomo enlarged it to this square. You see that black, the dark black right line? And then we'll see, in the days of Nehemiah, some of these maybe are slight approximations or guesses, but I think this is more or less what people understand. And then Nehemiah, now when the wall is going to be rebuilt, it's going to be enlarged, and specifically this top part gets larger to the north. Okay,
so,
people can
so
follow.
So the wall was this black line?
Which show me... In Shlomo, yeah,
in
meaning
Shlomo.
Meaning
the,
yeah,
that's
when the first
temple.
Correct,
okay.
Correct.
These walls of the temple, or the
world? No, the city, of the city.
City.
Yeah, of the city.
Yeah.
This is the city. This is the whole city. Okay. I'm trying to see if there's anyone I want to point out right now. Okay, so he's going out Shar Haggai. That's if you see that's in the bottom left corner. Sorry, in the photocopy it's a little harder to read, but do people see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. So that's where he just said, I went out.
And does this have any relationship to Shar Haggai of today?
It's probably nearby, I don't know if it's the exact same, but we're going to see a lot of the gates of Yerushalayim, the same names we're going to see, we're going to appear here. So they are probably approximately the same place. Okay, so I'm in Pasuk Yud Gimel. They went out Shar Haggai, the El Pnei Ein HaTanin, and we turned towards Ein HaTanin, so that's going to the right, like along the bottom of the wall of the city. Okay, all the springs are in like the bottom right corner. Okay, that's where the springs were. Okay, the El Shar HaAshpot, towards Shar HaAshpot, which is, it's a little hard to read, but that's in the bottom right corner. Okay, so he's walking along that wall. But now, Shar HaShpot, by the way, either there's a dispute why where the name comes from. Either like Ashpot is like mine, like garbage. Either it comes from that, like the garbage taken out that gate, or I forgot it could come from like Safaz, like lip or edge. I forgot why that some people think it's nothing to do with garbage or something to do with like I don't know, the gate like on the edge of the city or something like that. Okay, then. Va'ehi sover. What word do you? What do you have that? Are you following yours? Va'ehi. Yes. Yeah, so look in pasuk Yud Gimel. I want to see. You'll see why I'm asking you. Yud Gimel. What's the phrase? Va'ehi. Then do you have a sin or a shin? Sover or shover?
Sover.
Okay. So there apparently, so vahi sover b'chamod Yerushalayim. So apparently there were two traditions or versions if this is a sin or a shin. You know, as exact as we were for preserving like the exact text of the Torah, Nevi'im Ksuvim, they just, the energy was devoted to preserving the exact text of the Torah. So there's just less energy to preserve in Nevi'im Ksuvim. And so there are many more, again, they're all minor, you know, ambiguities or, you know, places where they're different traditions. But this does seem to be a place. So Rashi had a shin and read as shover. Shover means to break. So we'll see Rashi read that what Nehemiah did was he went out in the middle of the night, and we know the wall was already broken, right? That was part of the report that upset Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah is now going and secretly breaking the wall even worse to force the Jews to take on a campaign to fix the wall. Because it's so bad, the whole wall is falling apart, that they're going to have no choice. That's his strategy. However, most have a sin that he's sover, and then it's a difficult word. But if you have a sin, it means something along the lines of I went to analyze or inspect. And it might be, according to some, it's related to the late word that like you find in the Gemara, like savar, sover, like with a samach, like Gemara, you like to think or to. Why, if you find another difference? Yeah. So, okay, so one of these two things, he shover, so he went to either break the wall or he went to just examine it. The walls of Yerushalayim. Asher heim prutzim, that again, that were broken. U'sha'araha u'klu ba'esh, and the gates that had been burnt. Are people interested in the Shinsen thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you something else really, really interesting. I just wasn't sure, like, this is too,
So all these walls that are broken in the gates that were consumed by fire.
Yeah.
This is from the destruction, and they've been there how long? They haven't repaired it because they're having problems with the non-Jews who live there.
Part of the non-Jews, part of they just don't get their act together. Again, the leaders, many of the leaders have intermarried, so it's not like they have such strong leadership. Yeah. Also, but yeah, so it's, okay. It's,
so this is still the original destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was never repaired. Yeah.
Rabbi, why is Nehemiah concerning himself with the outer boundary rather than the more integral parts of the city, which presumably would have a higher priority to be drawn attention?
I mean, so again, in the ancient world, the walls were very, very important. Practically, they're very important to, you know, be able to defend the city and so forth. And also sort of symbolically in terms of the pride of the city.
Uh-huh. And to establish it as where the city is, that the entity of the city is defined by the outer. All right, that's a really good answer.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But you're right. Honestly, I have to think about more why it was so important, because it wasn't like there were enemy armies that were attacking her.
But had the base of Mikdash already been the altar was established.
Absolutely, for decades now. Right. Yeah, for a while now. Okay. So this is a really, an old version of Mikros Gedolos, similar to the one you're using. So I don't know if you've ever even noticed it. On the inside, so here we just have right of the Psukim, and I don't know, Rashi ben Ezra, and so forth. And then in the middle, you have all these, like, letters and footnotes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So this is also some of a preview if you're going to be a Shavuos night for the Shir Shavuos night. But... which will be very interesting. It's not, you'll see, this sounds a little technical, but so these are called Masora notes. So they're very, very, very old. So when, there are always people who are devoted to, again, preserving the exact text of the Torah and all of Tanakh. And it's sort of the high point was the Masoretes in like the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries. In Eretz Yisrael, and like the family that was the most famous and considered like the greatest family that are devoted to this was the Ben Asher family. And I think, we talked about the Aleppo Codex one point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if other people are familiar with like the Aleppo Codex. So that's what the Shir's about Shavuos night. So the Aleppo Codex is from like the 10th century, and that's considered like the most exact, copy text of Tanakh. So what these Bali Masora did was they didn't just, very carefully copy Tanakhs, but there were all of these notes, right? It wasn't, there would be a Tanakh, and then there were like footnotes. And the footnotes would be, many words could be written, Malay or Chasser, with above, without above. And it would say, this is with, there would be a note to it. Without above or with above, and things would be cross-referenced. So let's say like rare words would say this word appears only four times in Tanakh, this word appears three times in Tanakh.
Like a gloss almost of the text, a grammatical gloss or something.
Yeah, so I'll show you here. So, and the point of that was that also it's sort of like cross-references everything. So, even if someone will make a mistake, let's say if someone was being so careful to copy the Tanakh, but one letter out of hundreds of thousands of letters, they're going to make a typo. But hopefully you'll be able to detect there's a mistake by all the cross-references if let's say they make a mistake and write a word, let's say without above, and it should be above, but that same word, all the other places without above, it says in every place, this appears six times without above. And then there'll be a seventh one. Then you realize there's a mistake somewhere, and you'll be able to sort of trace back and figure out where the mistake was. Okay, so I don't know why we've stopped printing these Masora notes in newer, fancier Tanakh, Mikros Gedolos, but they used to always be printed with them. So on our pasuk, which pasuk are we on again? Yud Gimel, right? So for example, on, it's hard for you to see, but in the line that we're focusing, that he east sover b'chomot Yushalayim. So there are three circles, which go to the inner margin. You see what I'm talking about, Jeff? So, at least in mind, they're circles. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Notes in the left.
Yeah, but I'm saying over the words, so you know which word the note is going to.
The circle goes to the
So let's say on sover there's a circle. So that goes to the first note, which says bays. That means there are two, this word appears twice in Tanakh, and chet sam chaser, meaning it's not sover with a vav. You could have spelled sover sin vav bet resh. And so then bechomot, the next one is a chet chaser, meaning because bechomot could be with a vav at the end, but it's not, right?
Could it not be with like double chaser?
I guess so, yeah. I'm not sure how you would note that, but yeah, you're right. Maybe it could be without it. And then the next one, Yerushalayim. And then if you see the note, there's a lamed, which stands for Aramaic for leita, which means there is no other. So the way this Yerushalayim is spelled, because Yerushalam,
right?
So apparently there's no other place in Tanakh where Yerushalayim is spelled exactly that way, with that about, with those vowels. Anyways, so I think so. I don't know, maybe I'm misreading the note, but okay, let's not focus on that. Anyway, so this, the bottom star is clearly not like Rashi, meaning because of its shover to break there, that's a lot of places in Tanakh. So again, the dominant Masorah really is that it's shover with a sin, and it means to like investigate or to check. But again, but apparently in Rashi's Tanakh, it was a shin, and so he read his break.
Either way, his presence out there is drawing attention to.
Right, so either he's either he's examining the broken walls to figure out what to do, or he's actually even breaking them further to force the Jews to do something. Okay, Pasuk Yadalid. Ve'avor el shar ha'ayin vel brechat ha'melech, and then I went towards the gate of the spring, towards the pool of the king. So again, that's all like, I have to find it, but in the bottom right corner, right, see shar ha'ayin, okay? Again, those were the springs that were like sort of right outside the walls of the ancient city. Ve'ein makom la behema la'avor tachtai, and at that point, I couldn't get by on my animal. I mean, either because there's rubble or I don't know, it's just on the, it's a very narrow. So he had to get off. Va'ehi ole b'nachal laila. So they went up in the stream, right? This is, you see on the side, Nachal Kidron. That's where there was a stream there. So I went up the stream at night. And again, va'ehi sover b'choma. Again, I was checking, that's the second sover. I was checking the wall.
So then that's the only two places?
These are the only two places this word appears. That's correct. Yeah. Again, if it's with the same. Yeah. Va'ashuv avo b'shar hagai, and then I went back to Shar Hagai, meaning he retraced his steps all the way back. Va'ashuv, and then went back into the city. So he's sort of examined sort of the bottom and around the bottom right corner a little bit. Vahaskanim lo yadu ana halachi. Now the officials, no one knew where I went or what umani osen, what I was doing. Vela Yehudim, vela Kohanim, vela Chorim, vela Skanim, and the Jews and the Kohanim and the higher officers, the lower officers, the Yasser osen Lacha, and all the other professionals or people with responsibilities. Ad Kain, or that means like Ad Khan, Lohi Gazi. Until this point, I had not told anyone, what I was thinking or what my plan was. And then apparently he starts talking to people. If he gathers a crowd, or he starts talking to people individually, Va'omar Alehem. Then I said to all of them, "Atem ro'in hara'a asher anachnu ba." Do you see how bad of a situation we're in? Asher Yushalayim chareva. The Yushalayim is destroyed. Usha'araha nitzatu ba'esh, and its gates are burnt. L'chuv nivna et chomat Yushalayim. We must go and build the walls of Yushalayim. We should no longer have this disgrace. So part of it maybe was out of pride.
Yeah.
Our capital city and so forth,
Those are the people in response to him.
This is him talking. Yeah. Saying, look, we got to do this.
And who's he speaking to?
Just everyone, it sounds
everyone,
like.
Yeah.
Vagi lahem et yad elokai asher hitov alai. I told them about how Hashem had made me successful. Val divrei hamelech, and that the king, meaning our tafshas, the Persian king, what he had said and told me, giving me permission, asher amarli. Vayomer, so everyone says, nakumu baninu. All right, let's do it. Let's get up and let's build the wall. Vayechazku yideihem latova, and they were strengthened. They were encouraged. Any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does he make a good point of going out there at night?
So again, so it seems like he doesn't want anyone to know what he's doing. So if according to Rashi, he's breaking the wall.
Right, so that makes a
right, that makes
sense.
More sense. Yeah. And if it's not that,
he's inspecting at night isn't the best time to
do it. Yeah, that's also true. I guess if people would see what he was doing, I don't know, maybe he would, I don't know, be arrested before he could.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Something
like that. With a candle, so maybe he came out with a torch and
he had his iPhone. Flashlight.
Yeah, but it seems like, right, it seems like he had to do it secretly, right, that otherwise.
But then he goes to tell them.
Right, so I guess once he's, I hear, I guess what he's examining the wall and he's sort of thinking through the plan, and then once he's ready, then he, then he starts getting it together.
Well,
maybe he was also checking to see, how bad really is it, can we fix it? And then once he felt like he could do it, then he announces it.
Or also, maybe he went to inspect it, but perhaps one of the people with whom he was speaking to think that the problem was plain as day, that they would think that that when he rode up from Bavel, he just saw this destruction, so they would think it's a busha in the city and that they have to fix it, instead of painstakingly examining it and finding whatever the problems were.
But he's also could be worried about the reaction of Sanballat.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Also, yeah.
If he's coming up with a plan for reconstruction, then, that should be stealth about it until they know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Okay. So we're up to Yotet. So speaking of Sanballat, so Vayishma Sanballat Achoroni B'Tovia Ha'Eved Ha'Amoni. The Geshem Ha'aravi, this is now a new third person, they hear the plan. What do they do? Vayal igulanu, vayivzu aleinu. And they mocked us and they disgrace us, something like that. So they're not reporting them to, some higher non-Jewish official or trying to stop them, at least as of now. Right now, they're just mocking the Jews. And they're saying, "Ma davar zasher atem osim? What do you think you're doing? Ha'al hamelech atem mordim? Are you trying to rebel against the king?" Okay, and they're just sort of trying to discourage and stop them. Shiv otam davar. And so I responded to them. Nechemiah says, "Va'amar lahem." And I said to them, "Elokei hashamayim hu yatzliach lanu, the God of heaven, he will make us successful." Vanachnu avadav nakum ubaninu, we his servants, we will get up and we will build it. Vilachem ein chelek utstaka v'zikaron Yerushalayim, and you will have no portion and no sukkah. I mean, charity means like justice, no rights, no memory in Yerushalayim. We're going to do it, and you'll see, and you'll have no part in it.
All right. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Were they living in the city at the time?
Who's they? The Jews?
No. Sanballat, Tovia, and Geshem. These three guys. As my question is,
yeah.
First of all, why would you have a problem with the Jews rebuilding the wall?
Well,
especially they're living there,
right? So we're going to talk about what. So they were. We're talking in just a little bit who exactly they were, but they were, again, there are sort of all these nationalities living there. And they were apparently belonging to one of the other groups. And, the fear was, the Jews are going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, strengthen Jerusalem. And there are all these little villages and towns all around. And then they're going to become sort of the center, most powerful city. And then they're going to become the dominant group in the area.
So presumably they're from a nearby locale.
Yeah, probably, I guess. So they're probably not living in the city. Yeah.
And the other thing is, so his response to them isn't, I just came from the king and he said it was fine. It's, you know,
you're right.
Going to punish you.
You're right. You're right. It's interesting. And because Israel also, right, cause even though, right, they said, are you trying to rebel against the king? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That he just, you know. Maybe he's also, you know, who's standing there? I'm just thinking now, like, is this just them talking to him, or are like sort of the crowds of Jews standing there also, sort of overhearing it? And he's sort of also, he's talking to Sambalaf, right? But he's also, you know, he's sort of talking to them also. Like, interesting. Okay, now who was this Sambalaf? This is also absolutely fascinating. Okay, now the next parrot, which maybe we'll start, certainly not going to do. It talks about the rebuilding of the walls. And again, it's another one of these kinds of lists, because it's going to be, and this family rebuilt this section, and this family rebuilt this section. But again, in that list, there are these tons of these really interesting tidbits. And again, and it, both in terms of the families, and also it's describing the walls and different parts of the walls and this gate and this tower and so forth. Okay, so who's the first person or group listed that will be of the rebuilders? So this is just the first pasuk of Perek Gimel. Vayakam Eliashiv HaKohen HaGadol VeChav HaKohanim. So Eliashiv was the Kohen HaGadol at the time, and his brothers are the Kohanim. They get up. Vayivnu et Shar Hatzon, and they build Shar Hatzon, the gate of the sheep. Okay, let's even not, we won't any read anymore right now. Okay? So Eliashiv, the Kohen Gadol. Okay, now, okay, Jeff, you want to look this up for me, or should I do it? Okay, turn to Perek Yud Bet of Nehemiah, the very end of Nehemiah.
Oh. Yud-bet.
Yud-bet. No, actually, Yud Gimel. I'm sorry, Yud Gimel.
Not Gimel, Yud Gimel.
Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel. I'll let you read it for dramatic effect. Pasuk Chafchat. It's the fourth to last pasuk in the book. Perek Yud Gimel. Pasuk Chafchat.
Yo Yada.
Okay, so Eliashiv according to the Eliashiv. Okay. Hachoroni. The Kohen Gadol was the son-in-law of Sambalat. Sambalat was the father-in-law of the Kohen Gadol. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
He's going to be like the main enemy in like, you know, the rest of the book.
Wait a minute, family gathering.
Wait a minute, so he's a non-Jew.
So very good. So who is he? Right? Is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? So
well,
I don't know. Could be he's not.
Is he the product of one of these intermarriages?
Okay, very good. So one possibility is that's actually a very reasonable possibility. That no, so meaning it could be that no, but this is his father-in-law, meaning
so Sambalat's mom might not have been Jewish.
Right. No, Cohen had to marry a Jew.
Yeah, no. Right. This is his father-in-law, meaning so his wife, the Rebbetzin of the Kohen Gadol, maybe her father wasn't Jewish.
Or her father.
Well, she was a product of an intermarriage.
Right.
There's no rule to say, as long as the mother is Jewish, a Cohen can marry her, it doesn't have, yeah?
That's
probably, speaking. Yeah.
So,
or not, right?
So, okay, that's one very interesting possibility. So, this Mefarsh suggests that, already in Shua and Shoftim and Lachim, right, there were these other Shomron people that like sort of converted, and it wasn't clear if like they really meant it, they really converted, it was a good conversion.
The Kutim
and all these people. So they say maybe he was like one of those people. So maybe he even did convert, or his ancestors converted, but he was these people that, you know, were Jewish. They also still worshiped their Avodah Zarah, and you know, like so one of these like confused family status. So, and then, I don't know, his daughter who was a nice Jewish girl, and she married the Kohen Gadol, or who ended up being the Kohen Gadol. But he personally, he continued to be an enemy of at least like the established Jewish community. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. It's interesting. That was this, but I like your
that daughter is a very interesting person.
Yeah,
I'm sure so if you got to know her, you know.
Why is it not brought up here?
I don't know. It's a good question.
This is like that'd be the most dramatic and important way of telling us, you know. Like, by the way, introducing all the people that love the story.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to honestly have to read. I have to read why it's even brought up later. But I don't know. You have to read to the end, and then you're like, oh wow, that changes everything. Okay. So let's continue just for a little bit more. Okay. Perek Gimel. See, I told you, isn't this an interesting, Vayakam Eliyashiv HaKohen Gadol Lechav HaKohanim. So Eliyashiv and all the Kohanim, they get up. They knew it's Shar HaTzon. They built Shar HaTzon. So let's just look on our map. We'll have to keep our maps for next time. So Shar HaTzon is right above the Beis HaMikdash. People see that? Which makes sense. Because, right, they're going to always be bringing in lots of sheep and animals for sacrifices. So there was a gate designated to bring the animals. So it's called Shar HaTzon. So they built Shar HaTzon. But then it says, Hema Kitshuhu, they sanctified it. Vayamidu Dal Totav, and they, put up the doors. And they built Va'ad Migdal Hamea. They built until the Tower of 100. Different opinions why that is. Maybe 100 soldiers would be stationed there. That's somewhere to the north. They don't really have that on this map. Kichu, they sanctify that area. Ad Migdal Chananel, until the Tower of Chananel, again, which is somewhere towards the north. And then it continues. Val Yado, here means, and then next to that, like continuing along the wall, Banu Anshe Yericho, the community of Yericho, build that next section. Valyado Bana Zakor Ben Imri, and then a certain Zakor Ben Imri built the next section. Okay. Now, let's pause. Now, if you skip to, for example, I don't know, Pasuk Zion. Okay? People just see Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion says, Va'al Yadam Hechzik Milatia HaGivoni. And then in the next section, Milatia Givoni strengthened the wall. And for the rest of the parak, they're all hechaziks, I believe. Ayado hechazik, ayado hechazik. Everyone see that? Every parak is ayado hechazik. So for the first six psukim or so, it talks about banu, and then afterwards it's hechazik. So the mefarshim explain that banu means build, mean build from scratch. There are certain parts of the wall that were just new sections. And hechazik, strengthen, means refortifying the walls that existed, but were broken in parts or whatever it is. So if you look at the map, so starting from Shar HaTzon, so the description of the parak you'll see is going to be starting from Shar HaTzon and then going around, I guess that's counterclockwise. So from Shar HaTzon and then going counterclockwise following like the white line wall, that northern section is all new. So that's why the first chunk of Perek Gimel, we'll see, it's going to be talking about Banu, that this section they built, and then the next they built it. And then once you get to the, Shar HaPina, the corner gate, if you see that, and then the rest will all be Hechaziks, because the rest will just be, again, strengthening, fixing the wall, but it won't be building a new wall. And that's also why in this first section, it talks about Kichu, that they sanctified it, because with the extension of the wall, right, they're sanctifying new areas to be considered within the city of Yerushalayim, right? And then that affects you're allowed to eat karbanos there, and you're allowed to do different things there. And so by building the wall, they were also, sanctifying the area that would now be within the wall. So that's why also only in these first few psukim Perek Gimel, it talks about sanctifying, because again, since they're adding to the area of Yerushalayim, they had to, and we'll see, there'll be a big procession later on how they sanctify, what's the ritual that you need to do to sanctify areas when you add on to Yerushalayim. But again, the rest, it won't.
That's fascinating, because we know that Yerushalayim itself has a special status of Kedusha, And the question is, like, when you, you know, add real estate, how do you elevate it? Or is it automatic? Or is it a political act?
Very good. We're going to talk about things. So that's going to be later in Book of Nehemiah. And there's some Mishnayos to talk about that. Partially, it's a, you know, how to interpret
consecrating holy ground. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Well, you going to say something?
I just asked, so this whole new part that's built,
yeah,
it's opposite sides from where Nehemiah was actually looking.
You're right. Interesting. I'm not sure why he was specifically investigating the south. We'll see also, I can't remember if this comes up in Perek Gimel, but also, I think we're just going to stop here in the Pesukim, so maybe we just make a few more comments on the map, because I don't want to get bogged down in the list here. But you'll see, let's say to the east of Yushalayim, there's like a very steep, like it descends very sharply.
Right? Precipice, probably. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like built on top of the hill. And then the south also, that's true. And to some degree, the west. But the north, it's not as true, certainly. Certainly, if you look at like, it's not true. Whether you're looking at the older northern border or the new northern border, it's just not really true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was always easiest to attack Yerushalayim from the north. And that's why also, someone can correct me if I'm not remembering the exact quote. So when Yirmiyahu, in his early prophecies of doom, saying, you know, if you don't repent, right, so that one of them says, Mitzafona tiftach ra, or something like that, the evil's going to come from the north.
Mm-hmm.
So that had more than one meaning, and at the time it wasn't even clear what it meant. So on one hand, it means from the north, because Bavel, even though it's really northeast of Israel, but it's considered like, Bavel's always viewed as like to the north of Israel. So he was saying the evil will come from the north, meaning from Bavel. But also it meant, or it could mean, maybe different people heard differently, meant like from the north, meaning like from the northern side of Yerushalayim, like that the evil is going to come from the north. So I think some people also, that's also why they want to enlarge the north. Because the north was the, you know, was the weakest in terms of defense. Mm-hmm. Because of that. Yeah. Okay, why don't we stop here unless there are any questions or comments, feel free. Okay, next week is Shavuos, and then
Chag Sameh.
I was just thinking today was Yom Yerushalayim, because it was pretty appropriate.
You supposed to say Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim?
You say Hallel.
You say half Hallel?
What's the minute of the show? We said whole hallel.
Should I say it with you say with a bracha or
we
no?
We don't say it with a bracha on the show. We say a whole hallel. We say without a bracha. I don't know why.
What are you talking about? It's
hallel. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Bobby Wolf used to say that or something. I don't know.
I said to him, anything. Maybe you want to call half hallel. We say it's perkei hallel.
So we say, if you say the bracha, it's hallel. Don't say the bracha, it's just the prakim from hallel.
I wasn't sure. So,
did you read my book?
I started it, yeah. Thank you.
You should finish it.